Okay. Welcome to What's Ailing the World. I'm going to give out my websites and such later because our guest, Kevin Annette, can only be on for a half hour today. And today our answer is, What's Ailing the World? No good deed goes unpunished. Kevin has been my guest a few times. He's one of the bravest men on the planet as far as I'm concerned. Actually, I believe it was July 4th. Himself and his group, the International Tribunal on Crimes of Church and State, as well as a group of basically citizen prosecutors, actually brought a case to federal court charging the Crown, the Vatican, Big Pharma, with pretty much crimes against humanity. And I'll just let you take it away, Kevin. Please give our listeners an update on what's going on.
Thanks, Dr. Carly. Thanks again for having me on so soon. First of all, people can follow this at our website, ipccs.org. All the recent postings of this case are up there. It's really historic. It's the first time in Canada, really anywhere in the world, that a class action suit being brought against heads of state, the Crown of England, the Pope himself, and government leaders, church leaders, and corporations, big pharma corporations, for conspiring for over a century to commit crimes against humanity and then conceal it, obstruct justice and hide and protect the perpetrators. This was commenced on July 4th in federal court in Toronto, Canada. What happened is Jason Bowman, who was the instigator of the lawsuit, he's with the Association of Citizen Prosecutors, and he went into federal court with a whole group of people and submitted the papers. He actually got a court date for tomorrow, so the first actual appearance in court will be tomorrow, where he's going to begin to argue the case. And this is really unprecedented, and what was surprising was the fact that the federal court judge who was there accepted it. He actually looked over the application on July 4th and approved an initial hearing for the case. So that was quite alarming, and alarming in the sense that we were surprised that we wouldn't meet any kind of initial resistance. And I think one of the reasons that is because right there in the United States, a few weeks ago, the Catholic hierarchy was put on trial and found guilty for the first time, the case of Bishop William Lynn, who actually went to jail because he protected child rapists in the Philadelphia Diocese. And, you know, the wind is beginning to blow against the Catholic hierarchy, and I think courts are recognizing that. So I think that's one of the reasons that we didn't get initial opposition. At least that's my guess. But we're very excited about this, and in the weeks ahead, we're going to be bringing a lot of this information out, hopefully onto the court record there in Toronto.
Well, not only that, you've been on so many radio shows. You have your own radio show on Blog Talk on Saturday. The word is getting out there because people such as myself have been waiting for something like this, you know, all our lives, basically, and we'll do anything we can to support it. And I think that they're realizing, I mean, we'll see what happens in the hearing tomorrow if they don't find an excuse to dismiss it, because that's what they usually do. But I think they realize that it's getting very hot. And especially, like you said, if they go against it after this high-level a Catholic pedophile, obviously he must be a pedophile himself to hide pedophilia, after he was basically put in jail, I think they realized that the party's over for these psychopaths. One thing I wanted to ask you, if you could explain to the listeners, what is a citizen prosecutor?
Well, in the case of Jason and his group, it's a group of, they're not lawyers, and which is important because in Canada, a lawyer has to take an oath of loyalty to the Crown. They're what's known, they become what's known as an officer of the court. So in fact, when you hire a lawyer, you're actually, they're not really representing you in a proper way. They're actually representing the Crown on your behalf. And so when the Crown, in this case, is the perpetrator, they're the ones who set up these Indian boarding schools, they're the ones covering up these crimes in the churches. Obviously, you don't want to have a lawyer working for the Crown and then pretend to, you know, take them on. So this is a very important concept. There's citizens who have a great legal understanding and are invoking common law, whereby if the courts and police are not protecting our children, not protecting our rights, we have the right to bring about our own legal process and to win some kind of justice and shine light on these hidden crimes. So And that's important to remember, because even if we're turned down in federal court, we're not going to stop. We can convene de jure, what's called de jure common law courts, and we intend to do that if we're blocked in the federal court. One interesting thing that the judge told Jason the other day was that the other parties will have the right to respond. We wanted to get what's called an ex parte hearing, which means that the others don't have the right to be there, just us to argue our case. But in this case, we said the Crown has a right to show up, the Crown and its ministers. So we might face, immediate legal response from the government of Canada and the Crown and everything. So we'll see what happens.
And wouldn't that be interesting? And may I suggest that if the judge does not allow this to go forward, that he be put in the defendant's box as well?
Well, that's a good point, because then he has to justify why he would be turning down a clear evidence. Like, what's interesting about this federal court is that it has the power to issue what they call direct indictments. So if you bring in one affidavit and one eyewitness and convince this judge that a wrong has been done, he can actually issue a direct arrest warrant. They often call it bez warrants. In this case, we have conclusive evidence that there was a criminal conspiracy for many years. And in fact, we know, for example, in this law in the Vatican that orders the Catholic clergy to cover up child rape when it happens in their parish. That's been a criminal conspiracy for many decades. And in fact, in the Philadelphia case, what an amazing thing that came out in the court and the trial was that there was over one quarter of all the clergy, the Catholic priests in the Philadelphia area, involved in child trafficking. And they had a huge archive. For over 50 years, they knew these things were going on, and they hid it from the police. That's hundreds of priests in one city, one area alone doing this. So, that's the tip of an enormous iceberg, and this is what we're talking about when we say criminal conspiracy. It's a present, ongoing threat to children everywhere, and this is why we're not stopping.
Yes, and I want to mention what you were talking about, attorneys, taking an oath to the Crown. It's the same situation in the United States. When they have a bar license, their first obligation, their officers of the court, their first obligation is to the court. And so when the court is involved in wrongdoing, their obligation is to cover it up. And that's what's so tragic. How many people, spend every dime they have on attorneys believing that the attorney is going to represent them when in fact they will throw the case in one way or another.
Well, that's true, and I think the only thing that is the counterweight to that is constant vigilance. I think Thomas Jefferson or somebody said that the true liberties of people are assured not by the laws, but by the eternal vigilance of the citizenry, and that's very much the case here. For example, one example of the other parties that are going to be named in this case, big pharmaceutical companies for many decades have been using their connections with the Catholic Church for involuntary drug testing, as you well know, in these orphanages and Indian hospitals and that. And we're going to be naming these corporations, the chief executive officers, for responsibility for the death of these children. So this is going to, as somebody said to us, Roger, you're going after all the big guys, aren't you, here? Because this is definitely, shooting for the top.
Well, and that's why I'm so glad that you're doing this. And it's really interesting, both Merck and GlaxoSmithKline have been involved in exposés here in the States. In fact, GlaxoSmithKline, a federal judge in Boston on Thursday, and this article was in the paper on July 6th, approved an agreement by British drug maker GlaxoSmithKline to pay $3 billion, with a B, for criminal and civil violations involving 10 drugs, the largest healthcare fraud settlement in history. Now, what's really disturbing is that this is a criminal and civil violation, but nobody's going to jail. And it's really amazing how that works out. Our corrupt Supreme Court made corporations people, but it's funny how the only time they're not people is when they come to be charged with crimes.
Right, that's a good example of what you're ever going to see, shifting goalposts all the time they create. It's the same with the churches. They pretend to be religious bodies when it comes to not paying taxes, and then when it comes to evading laws and everything, they suddenly claim to be states, in the case of the Vatican, and yet they're above all international treaties and laws pertaining to states. They're just continually wanting to dust both worlds. And what we're saying is there has to be one law here. one of the things we're pushing for is for Catholic clergy and any clergy to be publicly licensed so that they can be monitored by the community, and if a priest harms a child, they lose their license. They can't practice and preach in the pulpit anymore. That's just common sense, and yet it seems to be evading a lot of the people in power and the lawmakers that we need one law for everybody in this case.
Exactly. And that nobody is above the law, and it's exactly what you're saying. In fact, I want to highlight something you talked about on the show before, and you just briefly went over it, but the fact that you actually received this document from an insider, I think it was called Criminis Solicitans, the document that actually directs bishops to cover up child sex abuse. As far as I'm concerned, that's all you need. Case closed. I mean, it's self-evident that this is a policy and practice to not only allow child abuse, but to cover it up. And that is so heinous. And I would, you know, it's going to be amazing to see how is the judge going to, you know, basically not allow that little gold into evidence.
Well, you know, people can read this law themselves. We reprinted it in my book, Hidden No Longer, Genocide in Canada, Past and Present. It's up online at www.hiddennolonger.com. You go to one of the appendices at the back, and we've reproduced this entire law. It's Criminis Solicitanus, and it means the law of soliciting in Latin. And what it says, it was brought in, partly written by this guy who's in power now, Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict. And it calls the what happens when a child is raped in any parish anywhere in the world, what is imposed is what's called the pontifical secret. In other words, it's like what happens during the confessional. It's a secret, and nobody is allowed to know. So raping a child is not considered a crime under Catholic law. It's considered a sin, which is like a relative misdemeanor. You know, you say a few Hail Marys and you're free. What's a crime under their law is to talk about it. So if you talk about it as a priest or a parent or anybody, you're instantly thrown out of the church. So it's insane. You know, it's a license for every child rapist on the planet to become a priest and to hide under the umbrella of this law. And it's been in place since 1962. This is a 50-year criminal conspiracy. And you know, we know it dates a lot earlier than that. But formally, not only was the law brought in 1962, but this Ratzinger issued letters a few years ago in his own name to American bishops to implement this law. And that's why American lawyers are trying to serve a summons on him, because they have him cold for being personally complicit in this stuff.
Well, at the same time, they're posturing and having these different meetings, you know, pretending that they're very disturbed about what's going on in the Catholic Church, and that, you know, they're going to make it right and blah, blah, blah. It's the ultimate hypocrisy. And, of course, basically what this shows is, just like it talks in the Talmud about it's okay to have sex with children as long as they're under 9 years old, apparently that's the pattern and practice of the Catholic Church as well. Child abuse is part of their religion, apparently.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's right in Genesis, you know. You know, it's kind of like this, the idea, and which is drummed in everybody's head that from day one, is that children are born in a state of fallenness. And, you know, if you think that a child is corrupt, then nothing you do to them is going to matter anyway. So, I mean, it's kind of like, it's this violation of innocence, this sick kind of depraved idea of original sin, and that sure helps, you know, in terms of this whole regime of terror. But it's a lot more than that, too. It's also that it's very lucrative. You know, we know that this is connected to child trafficking all over the planet. I had on my blog radio yesterday, my program, I had a guy, Matthew McDaniel, who works with the Akha native people in Thailand. And he was expelled from the country because what he was finding out was that their missionary groups, Catholic and Protestant, operating right now, running Indian Akha, like native boarding schools, residential schools in Thailand, where children are being prostituted, they're being used in slave labor operations, and it's run by a Catholic group called the Scarborough Missions out of Toronto. And if you try to contact them to find out what's happening there, they will give you no information. It's a massive secret around these places. So this stuff is going on as we speak, and it's kind of like farmed out all over the world, especially to the third world now. All the same stuff that used to happen here in North America, it's not over. And this is why it's so urgent, this lawsuit.
Well, not only that, but all of the different police agencies, such as here in the United States, the FBI actually covers up child trafficking as well at the high levels. I'm sure you know the case of the Franklin cover-up, where high-level government officials were using children from Boys Town for sexual purposes. And basically, the FBI's role is to cover it up. And so it's not even like we can trust the police to do the right thing, although if a spotlight is focused on them like a laser, you know, they must do something at least to make it look good.
Right, and as a matter of fact, a couple of years ago in Rock Creek Free Press, which is kind of an independent paper in Washington, there was a long admission by the CIA that they've been using, they operate out of Thailand in a big way, and they use the child sex industry there as a form, you know, as a means of political blackmail against senators and other people they set up. They admit it openly, you know, that they're engaged in child porn, child sex trade, all of that stuff. And you know, it's kind of like when you're dealing with the church. They're aligned to themselves. They don't have to answer to anybody, and at least in their own mind. And what we're trying to generate by this lawsuit is to say to everybody, you know, you can all take this kind of action. What we're hoping this will do is stimulate other legal actions and direct actions by people, you know, in America, all over the world, because one of the things that you know about is we issued a September 15th deadline to the Vatican, and if they don't start acting on these 10 points, that, you know, you can see at our ICCCS.org site. If they don't act on by the September 15th, they're going to face church occupations, they're going to face citizens' arrests of child rape and priests. We already know who these people are. We made a list. And there's groups in five countries that are going to start doing that in September. So, you know, the time of waiting for some kind of justice to fall from on high is over. Like, that's not going to happen. We're going to have to bring about ourselves.
Yes, I especially love your idea about occupation of the churches. And there was a leaflet that was sent out, basically says, an urgent message to all who attend this church. You are entering a crime scene where children are in danger. And the fact that you actually are encouraging the citizens who are, you know, donating money to these churches and supporting these churches, that they actually perform, as you said, citizens' arrest, and basically escort them out of the church and take over the church property. And I think that's what has to happen. It's so important for the people. Why are the majority of Catholics just buying this, you know, baloney coming from on high, that they're so disturbed that this happened and they're sorry and it's not going to happen again, when in reality they've got a law that says it must continue to be covered up? There's been no retraction of this criminal solicitation, right?
None at all. And the reality is that these churches are public space. They're paid for with your tax money. You have every right as a citizen to go into any church. They cannot keep you out because they are subsidized massively by taxpayers. And that's the first point. But also, there is divisions within the Catholic Church. You know, the Vatican League scandal in Rome, where the Pope's private papers were starting to get leaked all over the Italian media. That didn't come from the guy's butler, like they're claiming. That came from cardinals in the Secretary of State's office who leaked it to the press. There's a faction of cardinals who want Ratzinger out. They want to do kind of a face cleaning for the church, and they realize he's a big liability. But, you know, there are a lot of Catholics all over who are very upset about this stuff. I speak to them whenever we're picketing churches. They don't know what to do. You know, they're really confused, of course, but people are beginning to wake up, even in the churches, you know.
Well, the first thing I would suggest them to do is to never let their children be alone with a priest for any reason, obviously.
Yeah.
But also, I just want to ask you, in terms of what's going on with the churches, has there actually been an actual occupation of the church at this point, or are you waiting for the September 15th deadline you've put out for the actual, you know, citizens' arrest of the priests to start happening? What's the process going on now?
Well, it's started already. I mean, of course, over in Ireland, those guys are so enthusiastic, they jumped the gun on us. They went in, Jerry O'Donovan and John Deegan, they're with a thing called Anti-Catholic Church Worldwide, Anti-Catholic Activists Worldwide, and they went in, a group of them went into the main cathedral in Dublin and chained themselves to the altar. And we're yelling at the top of the lungs during the mass that Cardinal Brady's got to resign because he's protecting child rapists. You know, and that's the kind of thing that got coverage all over Ireland. That's the kind of thing you got to do. And so, yeah, it started already. We're trying to coordinate it so that it can have an impact. We're linking up with groups that have been doing other kinds of those, you know, occupations and actions. But, you know, I know that this is going to spread like wildfire because a lot of people are upset. I mean, in Spain alone, over 500,000 children were abducted by the Catholic Church over the years, and their parents were told they were dead, and they were black marketed through orphanages. You know, and the church made a lot of money. I mean, this is all over the world, and, you know, you just drop a match now and the whole thing is going to go up. This is my reading of it.
And you are the match, and I cannot tell you how proud I am to know you, and I will do all I can to help spread the word about what's going on, because, of course, this is very important. I'm just getting a Skype message. As you were talking before about in Genesis, where it says that, you know, the children are basically, you know, dirty at birth. We're being asked, what about the commandment that says, you know, basically, do unto others, do no harm? How does that all work together?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different things in the Bible on both sides that you can quote. I think that, you know, all throughout the Old Testament, you get reference, like in Deuteronomy and in Proverbs, constant reference to, you know, don't spare the rod when you beat your child. You have to use physical beating all the time to make the child morally correct. But, you know, on the other hand, you've got the teachings of Jesus and others who are saying, be merciful. The children are of the kingdom of heaven. And whoever would harm a child should have a millstone put around their neck and they'd be thrown in the ocean. That's what Jesus prescribed for child rapists. You know, millstones back then weighed about 10 tons. And so he wasn't sitting around, you know. He said, dump them in the ocean, these guys, right? So, you know, I think that's a natural impulse of any parent, you know, when their child is harmed. And it's a matter of what we need to do to protect the next generation. Because if we don't, if we have crippled, screwed up people, we don't have a future. And that's the essential need to protect our children from all harm. So that's, you know, how I read it.
And there's no better way to screw up a child than to sexually abuse them, especially if it's done in a violent fashion, because it actually splits their psyche. And,
right.
Of course, one of the problems that I have, which is also being brought up on Skype, is the fact that the Catholics continue to support their church. In fact, I remember when this really came out big time, the Pope actually brought up, you know, starting a defense fund for the church. How can, you know, everyday Catholics continue to support a church which is committing these unbelievable crimes against humanity? I don't understand that. To me, they're aiders and abettors.
Well, they are under the law and morally. And, you know, the amazing thing, too, is that they don't realize not only are they aiding and abetting child rape and murder, but because it's soul murder, even if a child survives physically, they're crushed for their whole life. You don't really recover when you're raped like that at a young age. And the other thing they're doing, though, is they're helping a criminal organization known as the Vatican Bank. And the Vatican Bank is in such a scandal now that some of the banks around the world won't have anything to do with them anymore because of their role in fixing interest rates, laundering money for the Mafia and other groups. You know, that's all come out now. And Catholics and other people who are concerned about this have got to stop giving money to these criminals. And so that's one of the things we say all the time. Even if you're still going to go to the church, don't put the money in the collection plate and tell the church you're not contributing, you know, to them.
Right. And what is the status of this poor butler who's obviously the fall guy? You know, he's not the one that got those secret documents from the Pope. He was with those documents, I'm sure, if he had some in his room, they were given to him for the explicit purpose of exposure. But what's going on with that butler now? Is he still under lock and key in the Vatican prison?
Yeah, it shows you how it works. His name's Paolo Gabriel. He's a setup. He was a Lee Harvey Oswald in the situation. He was a setup. He happened to have a few things in his possession, but the other cardinals who were behind leaking it set him up so that he would take a fall, distract from what they were doing, maybe to buy them time or something. He's a father of four kids. He's been held at a Vatican prison, arrested by Vatican police, even though he's an Italian citizen. He's being kidnapped and held illegally by a foreign power. And they got him in there, and he could face 30 years in a papal prison. I mean, you know, this is the Middle Ages we're talking about.
Right. which is quite a concept to begin with, that the Vatican has a prison. You know, I'm sure that was an eye-opener for many people when they found out about that.
Hey, I'll tell you, a friend of mine back in the 70s, her uncle was a cardinal, a guy called Cardinal Leger in Canada. He was fairly senior in the Vatican. She tells me how she was taken down in the Vatican archives by him, and she saw armed soldiers, state-of-the-art technology, and archives that he said document every person who's ever been killed or interrogated by the church going back centuries. So, I mean, what's in there, this is part of what they're doing. It's got to be opened up to the light of day so that these crimes can fully come out. It's all documented in there, apparently.
Wow. Well, that's some kind of a miracle that will happen to have all that information opened up to the light of day. Talk about changing everything in a heartbeat. I mean, I don't know. How are you actually bringing a motion to obtain those documents? Is that one of the things you're planning?
We are going to go for the limit. We're going to name every official. We're going to subpoena every document we can. That's why, I expect at some point for this lawsuit to be shut down in some way. I mean, realistically, look what we're taking on. But if they shut it down and it's all fully documented, they expose themselves even more. And so for us, it's a win-win situation. No matter what happens, the further we go, the more we learn, the more they take them on. If they shut us down, they're admitting something right there that they're complicit. And we'll go into another arena. The important thing is to keep pushing all the time. And this has got to be a catalyst for the eyewitnesses, not just the victims, but the eyewitnesses in the system, the insiders who know the stuff. We've got to create an environment where they start talking. And then, then the whole deck of cards will collapse. And so that's what we're hoping for.
Yes, this is like a divine discovery. It's just amazing. And I totally agree with you. It is a win-win situation. As I said, what I would do if I was you is anybody who attempts to further cover it up, they go into the defendant's box. I mean, you're going to have the largest defendant's box in history.
Well, I hope so, and the only way they could stop it now is to do something near Jason Bowman, who's bringing forward this. Now, we've already had a harassment to our agent provocateurs at the press conference he held. They're trying to divide Jason off from me. They've done this before. They attack the people who are closely allied to me, bring threats to bear and everything. So who knows? We're hoping for the best in this situation. But the important thing is not the two of us, but what other people do with this. And that's why we all need to get on board with this now.
Right. Right, and of course we expect for the divide and conquer strategy to kick in. We expect for all kinds of libel and slander, especially against you. And what I would do if I was you, I would say, okay, just use this as an example. You're accusing me that I pick my nose and eat it. Okay, let's say that's true. Let's get back to the documents here. You know what I'm saying? Because this is what they always do. In my attempt to expose the medical mafia in its creation strategy with vaccines, they say I have a delusion of conspiracy. Let's say that's true. Let's get back to the fact that not a single document I've ever written about vaccines can be refuted because I have all the evidence. You see, that's what you have to do to get them back to the point in hand. Because their ridiculous attempts to try to libel and slander you are so hilarious. I mean, obviously, people like us would not even do what we're doing if we had some big skeletons in the closet. If there were actual skeletons, then you would not be able to come forward because you would know those skeletons would be unearthed. And like I said, if they want to accuse you of some stupid thing, you just have to bring it right back on them and say, okay, whatever you say, if you have proof of that, let's move on. Prove that anything that we're saying is not true. You have to go back to the actual case. Go ahead.
They use what we call the 3D technique, deny, distract, and discredit. They deny it all. They say we made it up. They distract by bringing in people saying you've committed buggery on kids or you've stolen money, whatever, the usual smears. They've never tried that on that particular smear on me, but, they invariably get really dirty. And then they, to discredit, and then they distract everybody with saying, no, here, look over here, this is the real issue. The reality is that we've got them by the throat on this one, and they know they can't wiggle out. That's one of the reasons that in September I'm going back to Europe with this information, and this time I'm going to be armed with these court documents. So if they try to jail me like they did in England last time in an immigration prison and expel me from the country, there will be a defendant in a lawsuit attacking a plaintiff accusing them of something. So they won't be, there's no way in hell they would do something like that, because they would obviously be acting prejudicially to try to shut down a lawsuit. So we're in an advantage by pressing things now and using this court case as a springboard to, to launch the attack on other fronts too.
Right. And I would have your notepad with you and say, okay, we're keeping track of the aiders and abettors, and what's your name, please?
Yes.
And basically just keep expanding the defendant's part. Because what's so disturbing to me is how many people, small-time people who have sold their soul for cash and are willing to do whatever they're told, irregardless of how heinous it is and how it's allowing the system to continue to destroy children. How do they not know that their children are not going to be sucked into this web? That's amazing to me. Yeah, they don't get it.
Exactly, yeah, well. Or they're scared. There's so much fear out there about taking on the church. And I say to them, look, it's not the organization you thought it was. It's a massive, oldest corporation on the planet, a criminal body that's responsible for more deaths than any group in human history. So what does that have to do with Jesus Christ?
Right. Exactly. And I would love to be a fly on the wall. If your team ever get access to those archives in the Vatican, wow, what an amazing thing that will be. Because just imagine if that kind of information can come out. Although you don't even really need it. That one document that you have that proves that their order to cover up child abuse is a smoking gun, the biggest smoking gun you could imagine. But, people have to realize that they've been hoodwinked. That these people are not, they're the opposite of spiritual. I don't know how to even describe them. They're psychopaths. I guess that's what I would have to say.
Well, that's right, and that's why everything we do, any of these actions we're going to do, especially in September, it's all going to be live streamed. It's going to be posted on many different websites. I've got more and more media people who want to come with me. We're working on a new documentary, the sequel to Unrepentant, which is 5 years old now. But we're going to document all this in a film, and so I just urge people to follow all this at iccs.org. hiddennolonger.com, and if you want to write to me to be part of this class action suit and get on board, it's hiddenfromhistory1, like the number one, hiddenfromhistory1@gmail.com.
Okay, so you're bringing up this live streaming issue. I attempted to watch the live streaming of your press conference on July 4th when you actually brought this action, and it was interfered with. I know that you're aware of that. What kind of steps can you take so that doesn't happen?
Well, I think the more people we get to do this, the less likely that is to happen. It was definitely interfered with. The guy doing it, when one person is doing it by themselves, it's easy to take them out, but a whole group, a network doing it in many different places, they can't. So that's what we're trying to set up. If anybody has expertise about that, please contact me, because, this is a citizen movement. We're not funded from anywhere. We just depend on people, so it's important to get in touch.
Yes, and hopefully you'll get some insiders in the media who perhaps don't want to go public with their names in terms of that they're assisting you, but that they can give you assistance in making sure that this does go live. Although, even if it doesn't, you can do the same thing that you did with the press conference. You just, have the video put on YouTube, and people can still watch it. So, where there's a will, there's a way, and I know that you have a very big will, and I'm convinced that the ramifications of this, because this is not just the Catholic Church. This is, all the churches are involved in pedophilia. That's very obvious, and that's one of the sickest things that we have to face at this point, is that these pastors and priests and rabbis who pretend that they're, trying to be spiritual and help people in spiritual matters, are in many cases actually devious and psychopaths. And, and getting into the big pharma aspect of all of this, I was so glad that you also included that. Because these criminals have to be prosecuted. forget paying a couple $1 billion, which is a drop in the bucket for them. How can they possibly get away with killing and maiming children? And it's bad enough that they're already in the orphanages, and who knows what's happened to them, that they ended up there in the first place, and then you use them like lab rats.
Well, that's right, and I hope we can have more of a chance to talk about that, especially after next week when we'll have more to discuss about what's happened in court. I've actually got to run now, unfortunately. I've got this other thing I've got to do at the top of the hour, but I thank you for having me on. Maybe we can talk about the pharma aspect in more detail next week, or when I'm on again.
What I will ask you to do is keep me in the loop, especially through Skype, because I get so many emails that I've been sure not to miss it. But yes, anytime you want to come on and give an update, you're welcome to do so. I know that all of our listeners are very anxious to help in any way that they can, and we have to keep this in the public spotlight. And I also suggest that people start asking their local media affiliates, why aren't you covering this? This is one of the biggest stories of all time. How come there's a media blackout? Put some pressure on the media as well.
The public television networks in your area, we know in Spokane, Washington, public television have been running our film Unrepentant to a couple of 100,000 people regularly every week. So take a copy of Unrepentant off our site, hiddennolonger.com, and take it to your local community state TV station. Get them to run it. That's a great thing people could do.
Exactly. Well, continue your excellent work. Pass for
catching
that. And like I said, keep in touch.
We sure will. Thanks, Dr. Curlin.
Okay.
All the best.
Okay, folks. As I said, one of the bravest men on the face of the planet, in my opinion. And I do encourage you to get involved in whatever way you can, even to tell others about what's going on, because this is a very good thing. These criminals need to be outed. They need to be prosecuted. They need to rot in jail. If they're walking around in their robes and their golden chalices and, you know, everything that they're doing, pretending that they're the good guys, in reality, they're psychopaths. And they need to be exposed. That's what these people fear most, is exposure. And that's why they need to be exposed. And, of course, when injustice becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. I don't know where this is going, but I do know that I'm going to be pushing the envelope as much as I can. So I encourage all of you to check out those websites and tell others, especially if you know any Catholics. Why are they funding this organization, this crime syndicate? That's what they need to do. Stop funding them. You know, don't give them any more money for any purpose. You know, they have to take that money away, because that's going to be the biggest threat to them, other than what Kevin and his organization are doing. Okay, since I didn't give an intro, I just want to remind all of you about my website, reversingvaccineinducediseases.com and drcarly.com. I know we get new listeners all the time. If you haven't checked out those websites, please do so. Especially download the diagrams that are on those sites. The first diagram is the big picture of all diseases. And listen to the conference I gave in Chicago in 2008, where I explained the diagrams. Because what you have to do, folks, is make yourself aware of the evil that is taking over in all areas of our life. Religion, medicine, the courts, governments, child predator services, the list is endless. We have to become aware of what's going on, not become ostriches and hide our heads in the sand, because, of course, if you do nothing, you're going to be next. In actuality, you are already being affected, especially by the poisoning of our food, the genetic modification of our food, the chemtrailing, all these different things that are going on. Even if you're not involved in a personal situation, with your children being removed from you, or, you know, whatever the case may be. If they're being vaccinated, they are being damaged, and it will manifest itself eventually. So, as I always say, don't believe me, check things out for yourself. All of us have to become educated as to the truth of what's actually going on, stop believing the lies, and become a warrior for truth. That's what I hope all of you will do. And also, let me remind you that negotiation and compromise with evil is impossible. And please spread the word about this show. You can also support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites, which I very much appreciate. Donations are used to approve documents that I need to approve, as well as books, especially in my investigation of the bioweapons called vaccines. I've been doing a lot of shows recently on this sweet rabies virus that is causing the cannibalistic outbreak. And if you go to the lightofdayradioshow.com, click on Dr. Carly Archives, the first four Saturdays in June, I did shows about the cannibalistic rabies situation, and there's some documents posted there that you can download, which will blow your mind. Especially the fourth Saturday, I mentioned the document that I came across recently. It's a public funding of the Wistar Institute. They've received almost $500,000 to develop a vaccine for weaponized rabies. Now, of course, the only way they could develop a vaccine for weaponized rabies is if they created the weaponized rabies first. And anytime they talk about vaccinating you against the disease, remove the word against and put for, because they're inoculating you with the disease. Not to mention all of the rest of the witch's brew, each part of which causes all kinds of damage. For example, the mercury and aluminum cause Alzheimer's disease. The aluminum causes the anaphylaxis reaction. All of you that are carrying EpiPens with you in case you, by mistake, eat a peanut and can't breathe anymore, that is from the aluminum in your vaccines. And I have proof of everything that I say. So please, folks, you know, check these things out and tell everybody you know. If they won't listen, they're going to die. And as I always say, my own family doesn't listen to me. Both of my parents were killed by the white coats. In the past 2 years, my younger sister is now being killed with chemo and radiation therapy for the breast cancer she got after refusing to listen to me that mammograms cause breast cancer. So if people won't listen, you know, that old saying, lead the horse to water, you can't wait to make them drink, you just move on. And just say goodbye to those people because they're not long for this life. It's up to us. If you don't smell a rat by now with everything that's going on in this world, then you truly are brain dead. Okay. If you want to contact me, you can email me at drcarly@gmail.com or call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. My toll-free number is 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. My Skype username is drcarly1. But I primarily use Skype for my international clients and radio shows. So contact me however you can to get more information or a consult so that you can keep yourself as healthy as possible as these psychopaths move forward with their agenda to depopulate the Earth by 90%. And, of course, vaccines and war is one of their primary ways of doing so. And always remember, I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. I would welcome callers to banter with me for the rest of the show. You can call in at 785-336-5190. You can also Skype at PM Walk in Turtle, and also in the chat room, you can bring up a question or comment, and the board ops will transmit that to me. I also suggest that all of you get yourselves a colloidal silver generator, because there is no organism that's ever been found that actually cannot be killed off by colloidal silver, which is why Big Pharma is trying to take it off the market. So go to reversingvaccineinducediseases.com, click on the link section, that will link you to the silver lung generator that I use myself for myself and all my pets, and I encourage all of you to get a hold of that because, of course, the FDA is trying to take colloidal silver off the market because as they come up with more and more emerging diseases, from their biowarfare labs, they are trying to eliminate any way that you have to protect yourself from what they have done. And this is another example of what you're paying your taxes for, people. 1,300 biowarfare labs just in the United States, you are paying for these viruses, and especially the viruses that cause cancer under the Special Virus Cancer Program. You're paying for this, okay? You're paying for your own destruction. And so that's what you have to do. It's very important. Okay, let's see. I'm getting a question. If a woman has a suspicious lump and doesn't want a mammogram, what does she do? Okay, well, what I would do if I was that person, the only safe way to get a lump evaluated is to do not a mammogram, that causes cancer, is to do an ultrasound. Ultrasound does have some risk, but of course it's much less risky than a mammogram. But you see, it really doesn't matter because basically no matter what they see, they're still going to tell you they need to do a needle biopsy or a tissue biopsy, in which case they're going to either stick a needle in there. If it is cancerous, they're going to seed it throughout the needle tract as they remove the needle. If they do a incision of the lump, they're going to spread it that way. So what I would do if I was people, I would actually learn how to detox, because the main reason for breast cancer and prostate cancer is pesticides. The vaccines are what's corrupting the immune system, and that's what I teach people how to do, is to reverse the deficit in the immune system by detoxing vaccines and taking natural therapies to repair the immune system and then to detox whatever is causing the problem. Okay, Ravana wants to join the call and comedy. Come on down, Ravana. Welcome in. Hello, Ravana. I can't hear her. Okay, we're waiting for connection. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing, Dr. Carly?
Living in hell and frying big time. It's like 98 degrees here. But carry on. What would you like to say?
Well, I just wanted to mention that it was, I think, last fall, there was stories from the CDC and others about how they were working on, or somebody had been talking about they were going to take and make rabies and some type of flu, and if they hybridized or something, it would have symptoms like the typical, like the movie zombies where you're just super aggressive and blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, people don't realize that with all the flooding that we had last year, that makes a perfect environment for the rabies to show up. Because when you have the extreme heat and moisture with the extra water, that means that there's more flies, there's more fleas, there's more bugs, there's more, you know, mice, all that stuff, and that makes it a better environment for this to be able to spread. And then also there was a story about down in Texas where, not sure who was doing it, but they were airdropping these little packets of supported rabies vaccine, and I guess the theory was that these little packets were flavored or something, and the animals would eat them, and then they'd be vaccinated. But, I mean, the whole thing didn't really make any sense, because at the same time, they're talking about this, you know, possibility that rabies would hybridize with the flu, and you'd have this zombie outbreak, and, you know, we've had these different attacks where people are, you know, the zombie cannibal, whatever, down in Florida and all that. And, you know, I think they trace that back to this some of them back to these homemade drugs and whatever. You know, and, I mean,
okay, wait. First, before I respond, I have to ask you, did you tell your roosters that it's not dawn? Are those roosters?
Yes, I have roosters and chickens. It's about 9:40 in the morning here.
I'm cracking up. Well, I'm so glad they're able to cock-a-doodle-doo. I'm sure you're not getting them vaccinated. Well, first of all, let me just comment what you said so far, and then you're free to carry on. In terms of the weird weather, of course, we know who's creating the weather. It is the powers that be through the HARP frequencies, High Frequency Auroral Resonance Research Project. There's many different installations. One of the big ones is in Alaska. People can check that out by watching the online documentary Angels Don't Play This Harp and learn about that, where they've corrupted the frequencies developed by Tesla. Nikola Tesla, who was alive 100 years ago, actually developed a way to give energy to the world for free, taking energy out of the grid, the ionosphere of the planet. And, of course, what did the psychopaths always do? They weaponize things and use it for evil. So we have the heart frequencies, we have the chemtrails, we have all kinds of things being done to create the weather they're having. Most of the United States now is in this massive heat wave. It's been over a week. We've been frying temperatures between 95 and 100 for over a week, creating droughts and wildfires and all kinds of things. And now they're already talking about how the price of food is going to go up. You know, everything they do is designed to hurt people. So I just wanted to bring that up first of all. If the CDC is talking about weather patterns making things easier to happen, then, of course, one has to ask, why are these weird weather patterns happening? In terms of what you mentioned about these live rabies vaccines, yes, in fact, I have many documents about this. One of them is available on the Pennsylvania Department of Health website, where they talk about this vaccine, Raboral, R-A-B-O-R-A-L, hyphen V as in vaccine, manufactured by Mariel in Georgia. And in fact, what they're doing, according to this, you know, release, is they're dropping sachets of live rabies virus along with a version of smallpox. And they're putting it in a fish meal block. They're dropping it from planes. They have dropped more than 100 million doses of this just in the United States. And one has to ask, why are you dropping live rabies virus? And especially, why are you mixing it with smallpox? Okay, a version of smallpox called vaccinia. What's up with that? Because, of course, if rabies is a bad thing, then why are you going to drop live rabies virus, hundreds of millions of doses, on nature? And you call that vaccinating them? Well, why don't you just let them be, you know, snorted on by some wild animal? Why do they have to eat it? And this goes to show their true intent is to actually spread rabies. As a matter of fact, in my local paper here, CharlotteObserver.com, which I get every day just to see what they're feeding the sheep, there was actually a story today of a horse that developed rabies. Now, how does this horse develop rabies? I'm sure it's because the horse found one of those sachets and ate it. And the horse started biting and eating itself as well as other animals, and they had to put the horse down. So, first of all, they're creating the situation to begin with. And what this will lead to is an excuse to develop a rabies vaccine. And as I said, the Wistar Institute has been given almost $500,000 in order to develop a vaccine against, but it's actually with, weaponized rabies. Because as soon as I started hearing about these cannibalistic situations, I knew that it was from rabies. The guy in Miami who ate the face off another guy, initially in the paper and in the media and with other cases that have popped up, they've mentioned bath salts and other drugs. No, this is not a bath salt thing. And in fact, it was released a few days ago that the autopsy showed that this man, he had a little marijuana in his system, but he didn't have any bath salts. Of course, no comment on whether or not he had rabies. See, basically, for them to, you know, come out with the answer too quick, it would make it too obvious that they actually did it. So they have to, you know, put out other theories, you know, in order to make people say, well, I'm glad they're investigating what's going on. And I'm sure that they'll tell us as soon as they figure it out. But there's all kinds of really big red flags that come up in regards to this investigation. And I've been doing radio shows almost every day on many other networks talking about this, because as I tell people, don't be scared. Get a colloidal silver generator, start developing it, give it to all your pets. If you have property where your pets, you know, are outside doing their business, make sure you walk the property every day or two and make sure you don't have those little packets in your property, because, you know, you certainly don't want them to eat it. Better to, you know, get rid of it, but of course use gloved hands because it's also got smallpox in it. But one of the most amazing documents I was sent is an article from National Geographic. Let's see. It was in October of 2010. And the article is Zombie Virus Possible Via Rabies Flu Hybrid. Highly improbable genetic tweak could create a mutant virus. Now, here we go. You know, why would they come up with this theory of rabies flu hybrid? Obviously because it's something that they're doing. And they talk about the Zombie Research Society, all kinds of weird stuff. I really encourage you to go to nationalgeographic.com/news and type in zombie virus possible via rabies flu hybrid. A very interesting comment made at the very end of the article, one of the mad scientists states, nature doesn't allow all of these things to happen at the same time. In other words, for flu to mutate with rabies. No, nature doesn't allow it, but certainly bioweapons labs do. And I think that this is a very strong possibility, the rabies flu hybrid thing, because of course the flu pandemic is always something that they're trying to push down our throats. We had the CDC come out just the last week or so stating that the actual death of pandemic flu from their attempt at creating a pandemic flu in 2009 was, you know, like 15 times more than they actually reported at the time, which is such bull, okay? I mean, how can you 3 years down the road say, oh, we reported that there was like 3,000 deaths and now we're going to make it into, you know, 15,000 deaths. Focus, focus. We're going to play with our statistics. This is an attempt to scare people once again that the flu pandemic is coming, and they're already recommending that anybody that goes to Olympics, be it, you know, a spectator, an athlete, anybody that works at the games, they want them all to get inoculated with the flu vaccine. But we also have new information coming out. On July 3rd, there is information coming out of Mexico. They've declared a national animal emergency due to an alleged H7N3 outbreak of bird flu. And if you remember, back when that other, you know, flu pandemic started, it was allegedly started in Mexico as well. And I also got an email yesterday that there's concern growing over an H1N1 outbreak in Bolivia. So, you see, this is, it's amazing to me that they're still pulling this crap. They have the same master template. They can't make up a new thing. And actually, it's because of people like myself. I did over 1,000 radio shows back in 2009 when they tried this the last time, when they were trying to, you know, talk people into getting vaccinated with this pandemic flu vaccine. And people didn't do it. And that's why the pandemic never happened. So, of course, they're doing the same thing again, but now we have that whole rabies thing, you know, on top of it. Okay, go ahead. Any comments?
Okay, if you take the history of the United States Germ Warfare Program, their standard operating procedure was at any level and with anything that you're working with, before you go to the next stage of development, you must have a vaccine or an inoculation for the people that are working with it. Now, on the other hand, the Russians, they didn't purposely develop vaccines because the more deadly, the better for them. And, you know, we know that, like, over in Iraq, they blew up the weapons depot, and that released a lot of things in the atmosphere. But the main thing that I wanted to mention was think about two things. You have the Gulf of Mexico, and you have all of the Corexit and everything else that was dumped in there. And we know that Corexit is mutagenic. We know that it will affect biological organisms and can cause things to change their DNA and everything else. Same thing with the radiation from Fukushima. You know, I mean, there's a possibility that even if they're not deliberately developing this, there's a possibility that it could just simply happen. Now, I don't personally think that it's going to just develop on its own. I think they're deliberately trying to do it. And,
let me comment as we go, and I love you being on and bantering with me, so let's just talk about a couple things that you mentioned. As far as Iraq having weapons of mass destruction, and yes, in the first Iraq war, they did blow up a depot at, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, Kamaishi, something like that.
Almutata and Kamasaya, two weapons depots.
Okay,
yeah.
So they found the weapons depots. And what did the weapons say on them? Made in the United States.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, they also had a whole lot of old Chinese. They had old Russian. They had, you know, I mean, all kinds of World War II, sarin, taboon, and mustard gas and different things. And a lot of these...
Wait. I don't want to focus on that stuff, because we need to focus on that stuff also and sold it to all these countries. My point is that they're charging Iraq with having weapons of mass destruction, and in fact, they were made in the United States. So that's first of all.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Second of all, you're saying that these biowarfare labs have rules that they have to have a vaccine available for the people working with the dangerous bug, which, of course, why would they be making dangerous bugs anyways? You know, nobody's ever explained that. We're supposed to be developing ways to heal people, not to make them sick and die. But the idea that they have to have a vaccine to protect the workers. Vaccines are inoculations of disease. Okay, the whole idea of a vaccine is a fraud to begin with. So they can say whatever they want. And as far as I'm concerned, the idea that they're going to make their workers be inoculated with the very disease they're working on, it just proves to me that they want them to be knocked off so that they can never, you know, reveal what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I understand that the vaccines don't work, but from what I understand, that's their rules that they work by, you know.
Vaccines work very well. They work very well at killing people, at giving them the disease, and causing a corruption in the immune system that leads to all autoimmune disease, seizures, and cancer. Okay, so vaccines work very well. But I'm just pointing out what you're saying, they're ridiculous policies. And in fact, you know, if Hollywood puts out all kinds of movies about, you know, bioweapons, and especially my favorite movie to tell people to watch is Quarantine, because Quarantine deals with genetically modified rabies and how it causes cannibals to be created. So they're putting that right in our face. But in fact, in most of these movies, and there's been so many of them, where they've talked about actually cannibalistic type of zombies, they call them, being created, they're always looking for a vaccine. And that's where the lie comes in. Because it's just mind control, trying to get people to believe that, oh, if they develop a vaccine for this problem, then we'll be safe. Well, guess what? As I always say, if, you know, being exposed, if you're exposed to somebody with any organism, if they cough or sneeze on you, then your body's going to be able to develop natural immunity against it. How is it that sticking it in a syringe with mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, aspartame, the list is endless, poison, and injecting it directly into your bloodstream, how can that be better than just being coughed or sneezed on? And that's the hard question I suggest everybody, you know, ask anybody that's trying to, you know, talk them into being vaccinated. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Rooster.
Yeah,
and
that's great. What's his name?
I think that one is Elephant Toe. He's got a mutated toe on one foot, so that's his name.
We gotta get him on the team. He gets the attention.
But I was gonna say that shoot, now I lost track where I was going. Squalene. Squalene, and they also have other things in there for sterilization. I mean, it's not like they're just doing one thing, or they're just attacking one way, like you said. There's the aluminum, there's mercury, there's, you know, everything else that's in there, and they're all attacking you, but they're all attacking different parts, you know? And I actually just watched a video. If you go to Crackle on YouTube, they have a movie called Virus Resurrection Day. And this came out, it's set in 1982, and I'd never seen this movie before. And I actually thought it was kind of, stop, Roosters. I actually thought it was kind of appropriate because it's, when you're watching it, you're like watching something as it's happening, but today. So anyway, it's set in 1982.
Okay. Okay, wait a minute. You said that too fast. Okay, so you go to YouTube, you type in Crackle, C-R-A-C-K-L-E?
Yes. Crackle is the guy who uploads them. He just has a bunch of different movies, but it's Virus hyphen Resurrection Day.
Okay.
Okay, and it's about some United States military program develops this thing called MM88. It goes in, it disassembles the DNA, reassembles it, so that it basically can mimic whatever it wants to, and if it mimics the cold, it's, you know, you're dead within 3 days. If it does whatever, you know, it just kills you right away. So, it's this global thing, it kills everyone on the planet except for the people in Antarctica. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff happening in the plot. But It's a very interesting movie, and I think it's something that people should go and watch just to see, because they've been putting this programming out since, you know, back in the early 80s. I think the movie came out in 79 or 80.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
okay.
It's just very interesting because it's all about, you know, the United States government develops this virus, somebody steals it, they go to sell it to somebody so that, what, they can develop a vaccine, and oh my God, they crash and the virus is released. You know?
Right. Okay, and let me just mention, because, of course, that I call it Notice of Grace. They tell us the truth in the movies, whereas we're lied to about everything in the mainstream media. And I'm remembering I actually saw that movie, and actually, the ultimate insanity at the end of the movie is that one of the psychopaths involved in this whole thing going on decides that they have to release a nuke in order to take out, you know, some Russian, you know, complex or whatever. So it doesn't only just involve bioweapons, but it involves the whole idea of nuking the enemy, which is totally insane. So yes, that is a very good movie. It goes to the ultimate insanity of these psychopaths that control the government. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, the fact that, you know, he's like, there's 10 people left on the planet, and he's going to turn on this automatic, you know, missile system. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And, oh, the whole thing with what triggered the nuclear missiles at the end. If you remember, and I wanted to mention this, they talk about draining the oil from the reservoir underneath the southern United States and the Gulf of Mexico, and that causes a massive earthquake in Washington, D.C. Oh, my God, what happened? We had the oil spill, which released massive amounts of pressure on the, you know, oil reservoir underneath the southern United States and the Gulf of Mexico. And then we had, oh, my God, a major earthquake in Washington, D.C.
Well, there's so many layers to this, and, of course, you know, fracking is also highly involved in causing earthquakes. That's self-evident when these idiots start drilling into the earth and injecting their chemicals to release natural gas.
Hey, One second. Have you heard of the injection disposal wells where they take these soups of toxic chemicals and they drill a hole like, you know, 14,000 feet and then they just inject a billion gallons of this toxic waste into a chamber under the ground or sewage or, you know, different things. And now they're like, oh, well, we don't know. It's possible they could leak. Yeah. Idiot.
Well, you see, and this is why we have to get back to a state of common sense involving these mad scientists. There's something called the precautionary principle. The precautionary principle means that you have to prove something safe before you do it. In this opposite day world in which we live, controlled by psychopaths, all of these agencies, especially the EPA, I actually have articles where they've stated that it's not up to the creator of a toxic chemical or whatever to prove it's safe to be released on humanity. Humanity has to prove that it's bad after it's been released. And how do you do that? Well, you'd have to create a class action suit and go up against the company. Of course, if the judge is on the take, he just dismisses it. The attorney can throw the case if he's on the take. And how are citizens supposed to afford to be able to do this in the first place?
Here's the other thing. In order for you to even know that it's bad, people have to die. So you're allowing, you know, the government is allowing these companies to release these things, and the only way that they can remove from the market is after they kill people. Because
right.
That's the only way you know that the end, not just a few, because normally it's several hundred to a thousand people and more before you can figure out and realize what it is that's killing them.
Right.
Because until then, you don't see the pattern.
Well, and let me just bring up the big picture, because this is very important. One of their main defenses is they're using their plausible deniability tactics, is they'll say, well, you can't prove that, you know, toxin A caused whatever, because people are exposed to so many things, and that's true. And that's why all of science is a fraud, because if they're going to take a particular drug and give it to a population of people and come up with conclusions about side effects, especially when they just, you know, basically find excuses to remove the really bad ones and things of that nature. But it's always the big picture. You have to consider everything that the people are exposed to. We have so many chemicals in our environment. Our water has been made toxic. Our air is toxic. Our food is GMO'd and pesticided. So, you know, it depends on the strength of an individual's immune system, and that's what you inherit. That's what determines how fast you get ill. But, see, that's how they always use their plausible deniability escape route, and they'll say, well, you can't prove that our chemical caused the problem. And that's true. It's just one of thousands of toxins that we're being exposed to. So they created a cesspool. Our Earth is a cesspool. And then it's up to us to prove that the addition of yet another toxin is bad for us. And this is a state in which we find ourselves, and that's why all of these psychopaths, they have to be taken out. They cannot be allowed to do what they're doing any longer. And I don't claim they have all the answers, but I do know if they continue on the road in which they're going, you know, there's not going to be anything left alive on this planet.
Well, and if you look at what's going on with Fukushima, I mean, it's just, it's absolutely, it's mass murder. It's genocide against the entire planet. I mean, the Helen Caldicott said it best. The worst thing to come out of Chernobyl wasn't the radiation, it was the lies. And they are still lying about Chernobyl. I saw a video last week where they were trying to say that, you know, only 26 people died and, you know, no one came down with cancer and this, that, and the other thing. I can't believe these people were actually allowed in front of a camera to put forth this vile shit that they're spewing, because, you know, it's been proven that there was over a million deaths from Chernobyl, that there's was massive numbers of birth defects, you know, the thyroid cancers were just incredible. You know, there are just hospitals full of the children that had been born grossly deformed after Chernobyl. And then, you know, look at, like, Fallujah. You know, look at what happened over there. And we're going to have the same exact thing happening in Japan. But the worst part about it, the absolute worst thing, is, thanks, Rooster, is them shipping the radioactive debris all over the country and burning it. Because now, anywhere in Japan that you go, it's all contaminated. Now there's no way to prove that you got cancer because of Fukushima. Because anywhere in Japan is radioactive. And pretty soon it's going to be the entire Northern Hemisphere.
Well, let me just comment on that. First of all, radiation causes cancer, so does vaccines. And on both of my websites, I just have a show I did on cancer a few years ago. Basically, the immune system corruption caused by vaccines is what causes the T cells, the little Pac-Man cells that are supposed to kill the cancer cells, to be paralyzed. So that's first of all. Then you have the toxin that causes the cancer, be it radiation, pesticides, the list is endless. If you are a milk drinker of milk that has bovine growth hormone in it, that's like putting a fuel on the fire. And then, of course, the treatments for cancer, radiation and chemo actually cause cancer. So there's many layers to all of these things. But you see, they had to come out with that disinfo on Chernobyl because Fukushima is much worse. And what amazes me is the brain deadness of the American people. As Obama came out after Fukushima and he said, yeah, nuclear power is good. Yeah, we should, you know, even though we've got 23 reactors that were actually the same generation as that in Fukushima, in other words, they could do the same thing at any time. Yeah, let's keep those going and let's make some more. You know, people are brain dead. This is the most insane way to create energy that you could possibly imagine, especially as I said earlier in the show, that Tesla developed technology to do it for free. Okay, and that's all being suppressed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tesla was amazing. And not just him. I mean, there's a lot of people that have been doing it. Did you hear that the nuclear plants in the United States had to, because of the extreme heat the last couple of weeks, they had to shut down their emergency backup generators because of the heat, which coincidentally is the most likely time for the power grid to go down, where they would need to have the generators running, but because of the extreme heat, they had to shut the emergency generators down. These people are psychopaths.
Right. There comes a point where we're not talking coincidence anymore, okay? We already know through the Georgia Guidestones, through Agenda 21, their goal is to depopulate 90% of the Earth. And all of the things that they're doing are going to accomplish that goal. One of the things about Japan that truly amazes me, I mean, these people, and of course, Pearl Harbor was another false flag attack, and that's another whole show. But the fact that atom bombs were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and these people suffered the effects of that, and now they basically nuked themselves with nuclear reactors that were built on fault lines in the most earthquake-prone part of the world. Who's making these decisions? These are insanos, okay? And yet the people in Japan especially, the people of Japan are known, you know, to be very humble and very, they go along with, you know, whatever's being told to them. They don't rise up. And as you said, now they're basically burning the waste from this problem. Not to mention the fact that it's, you know, washing up on the shore of California and Alaska, millions of tons of it. Not to mention the whole sea has been contaminated with radiation. Every fish, every seaweed, everything that comes out of the sea is now going to be radioactive. Not to mention the air that's also coming over to the States and North America, especially on the West Coast. We're going to see an amazing increase in cancer, but they're going to have their plausible deniability. That's how they operate.
Absolutely. Yep. I made some videos last spring and last summer, you know, when Fukushima first kicked off. That's kind of what got me into, you know, eventually being on the radio. And one of my earlier videos was, you know, I simply can no longer sit by and do nothing and watch this shit go on.
Right.
And,
okay, wait, did you please mention your radio show just so the listeners can check you out as well?
Yeah, I'm Ravana 9000. My show is Beyond the Looking Glass on the station Sunday night at 10 and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central.
Okay.
And I'm on the Roundtables and a few other shows. But, you know, what really got me to the point where I could no longer just not do anything and not talk, and I mean, of course, I would talk to my friends and whatnot, was that they didn't evacuate the people. I mean, I was saying within a week of it first happening that they were nuclear detonations, the reactor vessels are probably breached, that there was full core meltdowns in most likely two, if not four, of the reactors, which I believe now that there's probably been at least four meltdowns. And, you know, now it comes out that, yes, there's three of them with full meltdowns. Reactor 2 had two meltdowns. It melted, it you know, went supercritical again, or whatever you call it, a week after the original earthquake, the first 2 days here.
And that's the one with plutonium, right? That's the one that's the most...
No. Well, and this is the biggest lie. This is the hugest lie that's come out of there. And they finally have admitted it. And Jeff Rentsch is about the only person that's talking about it right now. Reactor 4, they said, was empty for maintenance. They lied. Reactor 4 was fully fueled with MOX fuel and ready to start up at 4 a.m. the morning that the earthquake happened. That reactor was fully loaded with fresh MOX fuel rods, and that thing blew up, and the spent fuel pool burned for like a week. I mean, just that happening, they should have evacuated the entire northern half of Japan. Everything, including Tokyo North, should have been evacuated.
Right. Well, where are they going to evacuate them to? I mean, Japan's a tiny island. What are they going to do? Stick them all on planes and send them elsewhere in the earth? What are they going to do? They
use a lot. Opinion? Hey, you've got the Chinese ghost cities sitting empty. China would pull a political, global coup on everybody if they said, all right, you bring your people in, they live here for, you know, 5 years, and then they can, you know, buy property or blah, 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 or whatever. And China would solve its problem with the ghost cities and with its starting to fail now economy because their building boom did the exact same thing it did here. They just built too much and the people can't afford the shit. Or, you know, Australia or South America. I mean, there's, you know, China just built a ghost city for, you know, it is 150,000 8-story apartment complexes or something ungodly like that. I mean, it's just a massive city, totally empty. Nobody there. We start taking the people from Japan, and we start putting them in these global cities, and we start, you know, putting them in Patagonia. Patagonia has one person and 40 sheep per square mile. We could easily send, you know, a couple of million people there and build a city and, you know, raise the standard of living for everybody and do something good about it. But they simply refuse to admit the fact that if they stay there, they are going to die.
Well, not only that, but the half-life of these radioactive elements, it's not like this is going to go away. I mean, we're talking thousands of years. So this is something that's going to have to be done, and Japan's going to be like a dead island, a wasteland. And also, I just wanted to ask you, in terms of your research, from what I'm hearing, this was actually done with, well, not only HAARP caused the initial tsunami, but that the earthquakes were actually nuclear weapons that had been planted because Japan was on the side of the Palestinians. And so Israel, you know, basically made this happen. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I have heard various different scenarios. I've heard that Stuxnet was involved, that it was introduced, and that's why they couldn't open the valves for the cooling, the alternate cooling system. There is, I'm not going to call it a rumor, but I can't call it fact yet, but the story is that there was at least two micro-nukes that were placed inside two of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the earthquake was only registering fives and sixes on land, but somehow registered a nine out under the water, I definitely think that there was some manipulation going on. I don't know that it was HARP. I can't, you know, I don't have enough proof yet to say that I know it was HARP, but I think HARP was definitely involved. And I think the theory is what happened, or you know, part of the theory is that, because they always do things for multiple reasons.
Right.
One of them was the punishment for them supporting the Palestinians. Two was that, Japan was supporting the Palestinians because Israel screwed them on the nuclear material that they were smuggling in. But that's another, a whole other show. But they were trying to relieve pressure on the northwest fault lines, you know, California, Oregon, and up into Washington. And instead of doing it, say, somewhere down in South America, they figured that the best place to do it was over in Japan, because there was other things that were going on between Japan and the United States government, where the United States, I guess, had been basically threatening them, and Japan was saying, no, we're not going to do it. And then all of a sudden they have the Fukushima happen. So I can't say 100% that that's exactly what happened, but there are a lot of rumors, and there's a fair amount of good information from, you know, different sources, that there was a lot of different things that were going on, very shady. And like I said, up to and including having micro-nukes put inside two of those reactor buildings.
Right. And what I would say is that these quote-unquote conspiracy theories make a lot more sense than this was a natural occurrence. I mean, the idea that this could happen naturally is so far-fetched, it's beyond comprehension. That, you know, this tsunami would be specifically targeted to take out these nuclear reactors. I mean, that's a synchronicity I can't even envision. So, yes, there's no way to validate any of these theories, but what we can be sure of is that we've been lied to about everything, and that there were nefarious forces involved, because that's how they always work.
Yes, absolutely. And look at the nuclear plant that they've restarted over there, the Ohi plant. There's nine different fault lines that run basically right underneath that nuke facility.
And that's what has to make you ask the question, did these people in Japan making these decisions, I mean, do they even live there? Who are these psychopaths that they would further endanger their own people? I mean, you know, all of the people, the citizens of the world that have a conscience, should be standing up in masses and basically taking these psychopaths down. But especially in Japan, the idea that they'd be bringing any nuclear reactors back online is so insane. You can't even imagine it. How can the Japanese people say, oh, okay, that's good. We can run our air conditioner at a higher level as we're being radiated to destruction?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. It is. I mean, it's criminal, it's genocide, it's, you know, every crime against humanity that you can name, you know. And the problem is, the people of Japan have this culture of following, I guess you'd say, or, you know, not locking the bolt. Right. And, you know, if you look at what happened in the last week, they had 170,000, and I've heard reports of up to, you know, over a half of a million people showed up at the Prime Minister's home protesting the restart of this nuclear plant. You know, and that, you know, go Japan, get more of your people out there, and literally, just stand, you don't even have to do anything, stand in the streets and block traffic, just bring that country to a halt and say, no more nukes. Because it's killing you, and not only is it killing you, it's killing us.
Right. Right. And that's an amazing thing in itself. Okay, so I am not aware of the fallout of that. What happened to those people that did stand up? Were they arrested by the Japanese police?
Well, I think there was some arrest, but I don't think they were really able to do anything. I think it really surprised the powers that be to the point where they kind of got caught in the middle. The second protest, they did manage to keep them away from the Prime Minister's actual residence, but at the same time as all this is going on, did you hear about the, I don't want to scare people, but the rumors are that Building 4 and Fuel Pool 4 either have collapsed farther or collapsed onto the ground now.
Well,
I saw a picture supposedly from a helicopter that shows the building standing up to the top of the spent fuel pool. The rest of the building has all been dismantled, so there's nothing above the fuel pool.
First of all, we're not hearing anything about this in the mainstream media.
Right.
But common sense, you know, I'm a common sense person. Common sense tells you that it has to be happening. They've done nothing to stop it. So it has to be a total meltdown at this point. And then
they put that 60-ton lid on top of the fuel pool so nothing will fall into it. There's nothing to fall into it. You need to build a structure. And, you know, everybody says there's no way that they can, you know, support this fuel pool, which, you know, granted, it's 1,500 tons worth of fuel rods in this one fuel pool. But there's ways that you could stabilize that. You could, you know, build a giant spider web around it of cables, you know, out to anchor points. But the problem is, again, you have such high levels of radioactivity that most of the people can only work for 20 minutes to a half an hour at a time in that area.
Right.
I mean, they're talking about, it's a 5-minute limit inside of, building one?
Well, what they did with Chernobyl, they basically encased it in concrete, right? They made it into, whatever you want to call it, a tomb
right.
of radiation. But that's not going to stop the radiation from being there. It's just going to stop the further meltdown. But you see, I have to comment on what you're saying in terms of these 5-minute limits and all this other crap. Who's coming up with these limits? These people are going to die, okay? And basically, it's, I don't know what they're paying these people for doing what they're doing, but just even working in this area, it's like a suicide mission. And that's great that some of them are willing to commit harry-carry and kill themselves to work for Tokyo Electric, if that's what they want to do. Like I said, I don't know what they're paying them to do that. But, yes, something must be done, that's for sure. But my main point is that the idea, after this has happened, all nations, in my opinion, should be closing down all nuclear reactors. These are a potential hazard to the planet. This cannot be allowed to continue. Let's bring forth Tesla technology. Let's take our energy from the energy of the Earth. But, of course, the powers that be, the J.P. Morgans and all the rest of them, you know, don't want that to happen because unless they make money off it, they're not going to allow good technology to come to the forefront.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, the whole Fukushima thing is sometimes just makes me, you know, nearly speechless because of just the extent of the stupidity of how they're attempting to deal with it. And, I mean, it comes down to is, you know, let's just lie and hide the facts and not do anything because there's nothing we can do. You know? And the fact of the matter is that, you know, when Chernobyl happened, within the 6 months, there was 500,000 people that worked on cleanup, on, you know, decontamination, which was basically pointless. You know, the liquidators who basically had to go around and shoot every living thing within so many square miles so that they didn't carry the radiation farther. And, you know, what do we got in Japan? We've got, you know, 150 guys working there?
Right.
I mean, we need an international expeditionary force to go in there and, I mean, do something. There's got to be something we can do. If it's, you know, pumping, boric acid and, you know, nitrogen into the bottom of the holes, because the reactor cores are not even inside the vessels anymore. I mean, if we would have been in there the first week, there's things that we could have done. Now, at least three of the reactor cores are between, 40 and 100 feet below ground. How are you going to go in and do anything with that? You know? And in Chernobyl, what they did is they used sand and boric acid, I think.
Didn't they make concrete? I think they poured concrete.
They dumped several hundred thousand pounds of lead also. And in interviews I've seen with some of the people that were there, you know, they can to this day, 26 years later, taste the radioactive lead that they breathed in, because when they dropped the lead on the reactor pile, it vaporized into the air.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, you know, they didn't know what else to do. They were just trying to get their nuclear reaction to slow down. And if you watch some of the original film footage, you know, they had the guy fly over in the helicopter the first day it happened, and you can actually see the glowing red, you know, two separate chunks of the reactor pile, or the reactor core, that are sitting there burning in the bottom of that building.
Exactly. And once again, I will say, the fact that after Chernobyl itself should have been like a red alert to the rest of the planet to say, nuclear energy is not a good idea. You know, this whole idea that you could have nuclear power plants and that all of these possible things can go wrong, especially when they're located on earthquake faults. You know, why aren't the people of the world standing up, and that's what they have to do everywhere, and say, you people are insane. We have to go by the precautionary principle. I would rather not have, you know, I'll burn candles, I'll burn whatever I have to burn, you know, go without air conditioning. I have nuclear power plants in my vicinity here in North Carolina. And the idea that they're so close, you're just waiting for something to happen. This is a potential disaster waiting in the wings. And of course, that's one thing. It's very funny. There's three things that are not, that no insurance company will cover. Acts of God, nuclear war, or vaccinations. Now, nuclear war includes nuclear plants. There is no insurance company that's going to, write policies for these companies for the death and destruction that they're causing. Because, like I said, we're talking thousands of years. These people in the area of Fukushima, Japan, that have been relocated, I've seen some of their interviews, like especially on Great Speech TV. They believe that there's going to come a day they can go back and, you know, reclaim their homes. What a joke. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, did you see that in Chiba, they tested a vacuum cleaner bag, and it was 20,000 becquerels per kilogram in, you know, and that's a couple hundred kilometers away. You know, they're finding radioactivity, high levels of radioactivity, all over Tokyo. I mean, they need to evacuate and evacuate now. I mean, it's...
Well, these people are dead and they just don't even know it. I mean, they're all going to die of all kinds of cancers and other problems. The babies they give birth to are going to be such mutants, it's going to be unthinkable. And it's very, very sad and tragic. But it's going to keep happening all over the world if we don't stop this insanity. And as I said, Obama, he has no problem with nuclear power. Yeah, let's keep on going. Let's bring up some more plants. You know, because, of course, the government infuses millions and millions of dollars into the startup of these plants because they're so expensive. So the taxpayers, once again, are paying for their own destruction.
Well, I mean, it's the 50 years of nuclear power for a billion years of radioactive waste doesn't really sound like a good trade-off to me.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, think about, you know, okay, the United States government had developed a plan of how to deal with decommissioned nuclear reactors. Now, this is for, like, the reactors from aircraft carriers and nuclear missile subs and stuff. What they were going to do is they would decommission them, and whatever they couldn't take apart, they were just going to go and sink in the, like, the Marianas Trench.
Excellent plan, yeah.
Yeah. How asinine is that? And as far as Japan goes, I mean, it's a national case of Stockholm Syndrome dealing with the nuclear industry and their government. And it's murder-suicide. I mean, the government is killing themselves, and the people are allowing themselves to be murdered.
Right. As a matter of fact, I get rather sassy on occasion, and one of the things that I tell people that call me that have cancer and they're considering radiation therapy, and I say, why don't you just take a trip to Japan? You know, stay in your Fukushima for a couple of weeks, you know? If you believe that radiation is going to get rid of your cancer, then, you know, that's what you should be doing. That's what's amazing to me is how brain dead they've made the public through television, vaccinations, fluoride. I mean, the list is endless, how they have mind-controlled the entire population. But after we had this catastrophe in Japan with Fukushima, and then people are still going for radiation therapy for their cancer. Because what's the big thing they talk about with radiation release from Fukushima? It's the cancer risk. You know, it just shows you how brain dead most of the population is. They can't even think. And that's our biggest problem that we have, in my opinion, is that common sense and logic is gone. And, of course, our educational system is highly involved in removing it. What the psychopaths have done at all levels is creating, you know, this insane world in which we live. But, you know, it's very disturbing. And I hope that people will educate themselves. I just want to say that, you know, I don't like to just, you know, promote things that are going to cause fear. There's a natural iodine supplement called magnesium iodine. People can check that out at magnesium, magnesium.com. That's an iodine supplement I take every day in my pets because it's a natural iodine supplement that will protect your thyroid from these radioactive, you know, exposures. But you can also use homeopathic remedies to detox radiation. But people have to realize the threats that are basically being exposed to them and take measures to neutralize those threats. And there's so many threats. And what we have to do, in my opinion, the first and foremost thing, is take out the psychopaths causing the problem. With everything they're doing, they're destroying the planet. And then they're using their plausible deniability, where we have to prove that all the things they're doing are bad. It's insane. And not to mention the fact that we're paying for it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Just kick the bastards out. I mean, I've said this on my show before. You know, I personally would like to see them pay for what they've done, but I don't need for them to pay for it. I mean, I think that's up to someone else to make them pay. That's not my mission. But you people, being the power elite, you people have the technology to leave the planet. Just go and let us solve our problems. Or, hey, I got a better idea. Why don't you let us have the technology? We'll leave, and you can have this planet. And you can deal with the fucking radiation, and you can deal with the rabies being introduced all over the place, and the cannibal attacks and everything else. Let us sane and rational people get off of this rock that you have turned into a toxic wasteland. Because that's what it is.
Well, I like your plan way better. And I'm convinced that that's the reason for the space program, because
right,
they have to know that they're running out of time. People are waking up, and I've been doing this work for 15 years, and, you know, over time, and especially within the last few years, people are waking up big time, and I know that. So let them get on the space shuttle. Let them go to Mars and do what they do, whatever they want to do. Leave us alone. Because the technologies already exist in terms of health, in terms of reversing the toxicity of the water. There are natural things that can be done to erase all of the damage that they've done. But as the damage continues to accrue, of course, it gets more and more critical. And the biggest thing they fear is the spotlight of truth. There's no sentence that is good enough for what they've done. Death is too easy. I've mentioned before on the show that my dream is they have some kind of a glass prison in a state like Arizona where they're exposed to the sunlight, you know, all during the day, and then people can ask them hard questions. And, of course, they have to get vaccinated to get into the prison and eat their GMO food, etc. But the bottom line is what they fear most is exposure. We have to shine the light on them, and that's what you and I are doing and others like us.
Well, why don't we just give them shovels, send them all over to Fukushima, and tell them to start digging?
Right.
I mean, you guys caused this problem, fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, I would hate to banish them from the Earth and then have them just go to Mars and fuck that up like they've done to the Earth. I say if we're going to banish them from Earth, we banish them from the solar system. You know, you guys need to go find someplace else away from us. Just leave. Hey, we can send them to Uranus. That way if they come back and they say, hey, we're from Uranus, we're just going to laugh at them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's a very good idea. And I thought about that myself in terms of Fukushima, you know, Tokyo Power and Electric. You know, none of the bigwigs are involved in the cleanup or even in, you know, monitoring the situation. They send in their slave work units, and they tell them that you can be there 15 minutes and you'll be okay. Bull crap. Okay. It's toxic for a second to even be in that environment. And what are they paying them to do it? Why don't they go into those nuclear fallout zones and do what you said and start taking whatever measures they can take? And wouldn't it be amazing how fast they come up with a solution?
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that we don't have, you know, some type of suits that we can wear that are going to protect us from at least some of this radiation. I mean, they're giving these guys just Tyvek clean suits. I mean, sure, that'll help the particulates from getting on you, but it doesn't stop the actual radiation. It goes right through it. I mean, that's why these people are dying and they're having problems replacing the workers and everything. That's why, I mean, when you send a robot in and it works for 40 minutes or an hour or less, I mean, that's high levels of radiation. I mean, seriously, you know, deadly levels of radiation. That's all that can be said about it. You know, just ridiculous.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, the robots are melting. But, you know, I know that some of the workers, they have, it's not a kamikaze mentality. It's more of like they're sacrificing their lives for their country. But what is that gaining? Because nothing is changing. It's just getting worse all the time. And what is the world doing in response? You know, we're building more nuclear power plants. As far as I know, the only country that's put their nuclear reactors offline is Germany. And I think even they are reconsidering to starting some of them up. So apparently the message has not gotten through.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say. I mean, like with Chernobyl, you know, the monument at Chernobyl is dedicated, thanks, Rooster, to those who saved the world. And, you know, I don't care what you think about Chernobyl, but those people were heroes. They went in, they knew that they would most likely die from the effects of it. They were lied to the entire time, which they knew, but they still went in because they knew it had to be done. So, I mean, if that's the motivation of the people that are working there in Japan, you know, my hat's off to you. But I think that it's more along the lines of it's just desperate people that simply have no other opportunity, you know. And the part of the problem is that it seems that the Yakuza is the one that's providing a lot of the workers. because the Yakuza is very hooked in with the, you know, certain elements of the government and TEPCO and whatnot. So, I mean, you also have that going on. You know, and like I said, we need a multinational expeditionary force to go over and, I mean, actually do something. If it's simply, you know, doing what Chernobyl, they did and, you know, building around the reactor building, you know, there's got to be something that we can do to mitigate this situation. TEPCO is doing nothing. The Japanese government is doing nothing. They are murdering everyone. I'm done.
And the United States and Israel, who are actually doing the same thing, although not right out in the spotlight, why would they be involved in doing that? Because then they'd be admitting that these are very serious situations and that nuclear energy is bad. So, you know, I don't know how it's all going to work out. All I know is that anybody listening, if you want to stay alive, if you want to survive, you have to learn about all the things you can do to neutralize everything you've been exposed to, and certainly tell everybody you know about the corruption and fraud that's going on a global level. Because Japan's government is not the only government that's selling out their own people. Certainly not.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Rooster just, Elephant Toe and all his friends just basically, affected his emotion. I feel so sorry for the animals on the planet. Two of my loves in the insect world are butterflies and fireflies, and there's almost none left where I live in North Carolina. And, you know, there's so many reasons for this, the pesticide spraying and all the other things that are being done. But, you know, I wish nature had the ability to rise up and stamp out these monsters. If only they could do so.
Let me just throw this out there. This is something that's happened to me personally. I have cats that had kittens this year, and you know how you have normally the kittens grow at basically the same rate, and they're all pretty much the same size for each group. No, I have dwarf kittens, and I have regular kittens.
I hope you didn't vaccinate them.
No, I didn't. But then with my chickens, now get this. My chickens, I had one hen that sat on between 16 and 18 eggs when she started. She had 3 hatch. I have another chicken that sat on about 18 eggs. She only hatched 4, and it took her 38 days for the chicks to hatch. Now, normally chickens hatch in 21 days. Now, what in the world would be causing these eggs to take almost twice the normal amount of time to develop? The only thing that I can think of is something to do with the radiation. Because the only water that I've been feeding these guys is the rainwater out of the creek. Because I don't have a way to give them purified water right now.
Where do you live?
Northern California.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and that, to me, that is absolute proof that, yes, we are being affected by the radiation right now, already.
Yes. Well, it's very disturbing, and I know that a lot of people that listen, you know, they become ostriches, they just stick their head in the sand, and they say, well, let me watch the game and drink a six-pack and just forget all this is happening. And that's what you can do, and you will die. It's very disturbing.
Well, yeah, that's... Thanks, Rooster. Yeah, that's pretty much where it's at. I mean, you can either sit there and do nothing and let the global police state and the you know, death agenda where they're going to kill, you know, what, 6.5 billion of us? Because they say that they want a 500 million population cap.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do you think they're going to do that? There's only 2 ways to reduce the population. Either you lower the birth rate, or you increase the death rate. And they're doing both.
Right. Yeah, and as we're running out of time, I just want to mention another very important thing that people have to be aware of. It's a bioweapon called Pityosis. It's a parasitic fungus that the monsters have created. You can check this out at Wikipedia. And actually, there's a version called Pythium insidiosum, which I liken to Mycoplasma incognitus, which is another bioweaponized form of mycoplasma that's actually been patented. But this disease is typically found in young large breed dogs. It occupies swamps in late summer and affects dogs who drink water containing it. It's actually affecting horses, dogs, cats, and even humans. And I had an experience recently. I do consults for pets as well as people. And some clients I had in Indiana contacted me about 8 months after a dog that they had that was swimming in a pond in Indiana started developing these strange skin lesions, and unfortunately they brought the dog to a holistic vet who had no clue what it was, and he just kept operating on the dog and incising the wound. And then they went to a veterinary medical center who diagnosed the dog, and that's what told me that they knew what it was because they helped to develop this insane parasitic fungus. And last week, this dog had to be put down. I tried everything I could, but unfortunately, it had already progressed through the dog's entire abdomen. And the way this dog died, I mean, it brings me to tears to even think about what this dog went through. The lesions on this dog, it was straight from hell. And this is also being transmitted to humans. And there's no question in my mind that the reason it's in swamps and ponds and things of that nature in increasing states in the United States is because it's part of the chemtrail spraying operation. So I cannot tell people how important it is for you to stand up and stop this. These 1,300 biowarfare labs in the United States are creating these monstrosities that, you know, killing us is one thing. You know, there's things worse than death. But the suffering that occurs beforehand, what this dog went through. I was in contact with the owners of this dog 3 times a day for months. And it's just beyond evil. There are no words to express what is being done to all of the life on Earth. And if people don't rise up and say they're not going to take it anymore, you know, we're going to be living in a hell that you can't even comprehend. And that's why I question, why are any of you having children? You know, we have more and more states now in California and now in New York that are actually passing laws, not only that children can be vaccinated without the parents' knowledge or consent, but that pediatricians will determine whether or not a child can be vaccinated. In other words, they're basically trying to nullify vaccine exemptions. Why are you going to these monsters? If you're going to have a child or a pet and you love them, don't take them to anybody that's going to promote vaccinations or anything else that's going to kill them. It's so important. I can't even tell people. These monsters have to be put out of business.
Well, on the note of the fungus, have you noticed the cases of the flesh-eating virus? And also, Joplin, Missouri, when they had that huge tornado go through, they had the strange fungus. And the people were dying, and they wouldn't tell anyone about any of that. Now, my information is that there was a level 4 bio lab in Joplin or on the outskirts, and it did not exist after that tornado went through. So whatever was in that lab is all over the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's how it works, and we're paying for this. And that's what people have to realize. And that we have 1,300 biowarfare labs in this country create, and anytime they talk about an emerging anything, emerging virus, emerging bacteria, whatever, It emerged from a laboratory and you paid for its creation, period. And in terms of the flesh-eating situation, it's a bacteria. And interestingly, the flesh-eating bacteria, there have been at least 4 cases that have come out right around the CDC itself. So, you know that's where it emanated from. And there was this one young woman, I think her name was Hopewell or something like that, and she had to have multiple extremities amputated. And unfortunately, she didn't know about colloidal silver. But, you know, they're making flesh-eating bacteria. They're making cannibals that eat flesh. It's all coming out of these biowarfare laboratories. And that's what people have to face, is that they're paying for these things to be created, not only to bring fear to the population, but also to convince them to get a vaccine. That's what it's going to come down to. And the vaccines will cause the pandemics.
Well, and one last thing is, there was a couple of articles that came out within the last year or so. They're now finding, and I find this is just, you know, over the top, that they have introduced this flesh-eating, you know, bacteria or whatever, into the cocaine. And now, if you go and snort coke and it happens to have this in it, it's gonna eat your nose off of your face. Or, you know, I saw one picture where a guy had lost like 3/4 of his ear. And, I mean, these people are just totally insane. And they are out to murder all of us. And like you said, you need to simply stand up and say no more.
Exactly. Okay, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for your very important contributions to the show. I encourage the listeners to access Ravana's shows as well. And please, folks, stand up and say no. That's what we have to do. Because our very life and you know, whatever you want to call it, happiness, joy, forget it. If we don't stand up against these psychopaths, we are toast. Thank you so much, folks, and we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.